Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Good morning. Thank you for Carol, to Carol for that introduction on Trinity Sunday. It's good to be with you. If you were expecting Peter Hall to lead the service, my apologies to you. You've got me. But it's good to be with you this morning. You've got your notice sheet, which has all the notices on it. Just draw your attention to a couple of things on there. Firstly, the fundraiser on the 3rd of July at St. Nicholas's, and then in the afternoon, also a memorial service for Olive Sheesby here in St. Thomas's. And also, you may have noticed the hymns in the park on the 11th of July, where we can gather. I've discovered, actually, that that day is apparently Picnic Sunday. I didn't know that when I... We'll be doing hymns in the park, more details to follow on that, but basically it'll be a bring a chair or a blanket and we'll sing out to our heart's content, because that's something we've all missed over the last year, isn't it? So do be wondering who you might bring along to that. That'd be great. Other than that, you've got all your notices. Emily is basically running the service today. I mean, she did say to me earlier on, you can go home if you want, Max. I seem to be doing everything, which is true, so... If you didn't read my introduction, my rector's reflection, there's this horrible tradition in the Church of England to get the curate to preach on Trinity Sunday. Well, we don't have a curate, but we do have an Emily. So she done that, and you know, it's a great thing. I had a sneak preview, and we're in for a treat. But before we begin, let's be quiet for a little while longer as we invite God's Spirit to... Take us through our communion service this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, might our worship be acceptable in your sight today. Be with us, we pray. Amen. And as our preparation, we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. And so we pause for a moment as we come before a God who is keen to forgive us, and we reflect upon our lives and offer that to our Lord.
Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. As I remind us that we are truly forgiven when we come before our God
Let's hold that in our hearts. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you join me in standing as we worship in the Gloria? And we say together, glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And as we sit or kneel for the prayer of the week, the collect, a moment of silence for you to say your own prayer of thanks. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us your servants grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith that we may evermore be defended from all adversities through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. And Susie is now going to bring us our first reading.
The reading is taken from Romans 8, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if the Spirit you put, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are the children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share his sufferings in order that we may also share his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel reading this morning is taken from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said this to you. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know from where it comes or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Aren't you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Allow me a moment of prayer before I share a few thoughts with you. Open our ears, Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. We ask that you speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills so that we may serve you today and always. Amen. I wonder how many of you like a good brain teaser. As a child, my family would often have people round for dinner, friends, extended family, various colleagues, and you could guarantee that every time my dad would bring out the only brain teaser he could remember for a bit of light dinner entertainment. It went like this. There was once a man who lived on the 17th floor of a building. Every morning, he would take the elevator down to the ground floor to go to work. When he returns, he takes the same elevator to the 7th floor and walks up the stairs to reach his apartment on the 17th floor. He hates walking up the stairs, so why does he do it? Anyone have any ideas? Sorry? No, sorry, go on. Yes. The man is of short stature and unable to reach any higher than the button for the 7th floor. I chose to open today's sermon with a brain teaser because I will attempt to tackle the subject of the biggest brain teaser known to man, that of the Trinity. The Trinity is a difficult subject to understand, let alone preach about, so I thank Max for giving me this task today. One of the reasons it's so difficult to comprehend is because it's not explicitly mentioned in Scripture. It is, however, suggested. So, for example, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, we read the grace that we sometimes use at the end of our services. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. In essence, the Trinity is the belief that God is one being, but distinct in person. In other words, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are somehow separate from one another, and yet at the same time utterly united in essence, and we call this essence God. God, in which all three Trinity members relate to each other, give to each other, and love each other. There's a picture that you would have been given in your news sheets this morning of a banner at St. Faith's Church, which is my dad's church. And at the bottom of the banner, if you notice, there is an image, which I have kind of tried to enhance so that you can see it better. And as you can see, This picture shows that the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Holy Spirit is not the Father, and yet all three are somehow God. Brain teaser, hey? Our gospel reading from John this morning is a rarity in the Gospels because it shows Jesus discussing all three persons of the Trinity. In our reading, we hear the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was not just a Pharisee, but verse 10, Jesus calls him the teacher of Israel, suggesting to us that Nicodemus is a teacher of the religious leaders of the Jews. As we know, most of the Pharisees are jealous of Jesus, mainly because he undermined their authority and challenged their way of living. But Nicodemus is searching, and he believes that Jesus might have some answers. So he seeks him out under the cover of night. Now, we're not quite sure why he seeks him out under night, but I think we can safely assume that it was probably out of fear of what the other Pharisees might say if they saw him talking to Jesus. I'd like to draw your attention quickly to the first person plural that we read here. Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God." This suggests that Nicodemus presents himself as a representative of the religious leaders. Like a typical scholar, he begins his conversation with a statement of evidence. "We know that you're a teacher who comes from God." But how do they know? By observation and deduction. Jesus' miracles and signs provide convincing proof that God is with him. So even though Nicodemus is not wrong about his conclusion, he isn't right either. His conclusion is incomplete. Jesus' response cuts straight to the heart of the matter. No one can see God's reign without being born again. Unless Nicodemus allows God to change his whole way of being in the world, he will not be able to perceive God at work. Of course, as we probably would, Nicodemus is rather shocked and asks, "Born again? How can anyone be born again after having grown old?" Jesus goes on to explain that we are born of water and spirit. Now, there are a few ways to interpret this, one being that everyone is born of water. The breaking of waters at childbirth announces the imminent delivery of a child. But the kingdom of God will require a double birth, one of water and of spirit. New life will be both, no longer just physical birth. This is a revolutionary concept. The kingdom is personal, not national, and its entrance requirements are repentance and spiritual rebirth. Jesus taught in Luke 17, verse 21, that God's kingdom has already begun in the hearts of the believers. He explains that those who are reborn in this way become spiritual beings, shaped and sustained by the Spirit who bears them. This concept makes me think of my son Lucas, who most of you now know. Born of water, Lucas's whole universe revolves around himself at the moment. Like all humans, he is self-centered. All that matters to him right now is his needs and his wants. But as he grows, I'm beginning to see glimpses of him thinking of others. I took him down to the local park a few days ago, where he made friends with another little boy. And as children are capable of making friends within seconds, the two boys are running around the park together, holding hands and taking it in turns to push each other on the roundabout. He then offered his new friend one of his biscuits, and they sat on the grass eating together. It was unbearably cute. As Lucas is born of spirit, he is starting to care about what is important to others. First, his family and his friends, and then, I pray, the wider world. And as he grows in the life of faith, again, I pray, he will seek God's priorities above his own. This is something of what it means to be born of spirit. In conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus refers to all three persons of the Trinity. God is the one who loves the world and, unwilling to let it perish, sends the Son. The famous verse 17, it tells us that God sent the Son not to condemn the world, but to save it and its inhabitants, to rescue them and restore them. Jesus is both Son of God and Son of Man. He descended from heaven and ascended back to heaven, so connecting heaven and earth. He remains in constant contact with God the sender, revealing God to us as a tangible and accessible God. Those who put their trust in Jesus will have eternal life by being reborn by spirit and water. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma, which can mean spirit or breath or wind. And Jesus plays with this ambiguity. Like wind, the spirit blows where it wills. Humans can detect its presence, but cannot chart its precise movements. Jesus' offer of new birth is like wind, a mystery beyond human control and knowledge, like that concept of the Trinity. He refers to God's gift of new life as entering into the kingdom of God. As a Pharisee, Nicodemus would have had some knowledge of the kingdom of God from his Jewish teachings. He would have thought that God would rule the kingdom, it would be restored on earth, and it would incorporate God's people, the Israelites. To me, this shows that no matter how well educated or intelligent we are, we must always come to Jesus with an open mind and an open heart so that he can teach us about the truth of God. The truth that Jesus revealed to this devout Pharisee is that the kingdom of God would come to the whole world, not just to the Jews, and that Nicodemus wouldn't have a part to play in it until he was born again. Our life in the kingdom of God is shaped by and utterly dependent on God's love. It is not simply about life after death. It begins now, in the moment that believers entrust their lives to Jesus. When believers receive eternal life, they enter into God's reign in the here and now. They become citizens of God's kingdom, submitting to God's rule and depending on the Spirit for guidance. But citizenship in God's kingdom is not a solo affair. In our reading this morning from Romans, Paul talks about receiving the spirit of adoption. In Roman culture, an adopted person loses all their rights to their old family and gains all the rights of a legitimate child in their new family. Likewise, when a person becomes a Christian, he or she gains all the privileges and responsibilities of a child in God's family. One of these unique privileges is being led by the Spirit. We may not always feel like we belong to God, but the Holy Spirit is our witness. His inward presence reminds us of who we are and encourages us with God's love. Rebirth into God's kingdom doesn't come through knowledge or doctrine, but through faith. If religious training was enough, Nicodemus, as a representative of Israel's religious leaders, he should have already had all that he needed. But he was baffled, unable to enter into the new life through his intellect. John 19 tells us it was only after Jesus' crucifixion that Nicodemus steps towards commitment by bringing myrrh for Jesus' burial. This risky act signaled a change of heart and the beginning of a transformation. Jesus invites all of us to receive life as God's gift. Christ crucified shows us God's love, beaten and rejected and yet triumphant. Those who trust Jesus, giving their lives to the divine love, will be reborn through the Spirit. We choose to believe in that God, a God who is so devoted to his creation like a mother is devoted to her children, that he gives us his power deep within us to draw us ever onwards towards the depth of his being. We believe in a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or to put it another way, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. In our lives, we have glimpsed something of the divine nature of the universe, but our human senses are too weak, too frail, too cluttered with the very business of surviving to be able to completely understand the nature of this divine brain teaser that surrounds us and sustains us. We still don't fully yet understand how our bodies manage to operate. We don't understand how the taking in of the oxygen we breathe manages to keep us alive. We just know that it does. How can we possibly imagine that we're ready to understand how the creative force of God sustains all things? But we are learning, like our ancestors who assembled the jigsaw that we now call the Bible, piece by piece. We're beginning to get it. We're beginning to understand the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, parent, healer, life source, that is intimately bound with our existence, creating us, healing us, sustaining us. But there is still much that is mysterious. However, there is much that we can be sure of, and there is much that is worth embracing. Through spiritual rebirth and the saving work of Christ, we have been adopted into God's family. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, as his children, the Spirit of God testifies to our spirit that we are his children. We are lucky enough to be able to call the creator of the entire universe, Abba, Father, and relate to each other as members of one family. That is the stuff of a worthwhile life in which we continue to embrace and explore the three in one God. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please do have a seat. As Sandra brings us our prayers, let me just encourage you perhaps to take away a little homework today. Sometimes, let's be real, we know Emily speaks well, but sometimes there are sermons, I believe, which are truly touched by the Holy Spirit, and I think that was one of them. You know, that line, if we can, you know, if knowledge was enough, if knowledge of Scripture was enough, then Nicodemus was already saved. That's what Emily was saying. But actually, we cry, Abba, Father, we are adopted. I'd encourage you to go away and re-listen to that again with a notebook in your hand from the web later on. Sandra.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. In your goodness, you have shown yourself to us and invited us to share in your glory. Amen. We bring before you the weariness of the world, and we pray for all those who need God's strength and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit at this time. We particularly think of those exploited by others, all who live in fear of violence, and those denied freedom of speech or movement. We pray also for all innocent victims of war and terrorism. And we remember our armed forces, many on deployment, far from home at this time, many away for the first time, and their families and loved ones waiting anxiously for them at home. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As we give thanks for the improvements that are being felt in the COVID situation in India, we continue to pray for all who work in healthcare, both at home and abroad, and all whose lives have been affected by the virus. May the community here in Bedhampton be watchful and caring for those who need our support. And may we be able to demonstrate the love of Jesus. On this bank holiday weekend, we give thanks for the opportunity for many people to enjoy rest, to see loved ones, and to start to overcome the barriers of separation and isolation under which so many of us have been living. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, we pray for those who are weary in body, mind, or spirit, and those mentioned in our weekly sheet. Grant them strength and comfort, Lord, and pour out your blessing on those who minister to them. We pray also for the families of those who have recently died. And in a moment of quiet, we remember those dear to our own hearts. And finally, on this Trinity Sunday, we pray, dear God, our Father, each moment of our lives you hold us in being. On you we depend. Dear God, eternal Son of the Father, friend and brother Jesus, walking beside us all, in you we trust. Dear God, Holy Spirit, life and love within us, from you we live. Amen.
If you're able to, would you join me in standing for a moment as we distantly share the peace together? We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son. Born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross, and he put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the blood, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption as we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. And from page 12, we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. And so, my friends, draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, Our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from under your table. But you, Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. Almighty and eternal God, you have revealed yourself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and live and reign in perfect unity of love. Hold us firm in this faith, that we may know you in all your ways, and evermore rejoice in your eternal glory, who are three persons, yet one God, now and forever. Amen. And we say our prayer of thanks together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so, my friends, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace. who love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.